Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Desperate House Witches. This is Dorian Wallace. I am flying solo tonight, joined shortly by our guest and our lovely sponsor, Dorothy Morrison from WickedWitchesStudios.com. If you need an international shipping, try AngryCauldron.com. And we are going to bring her on right now. Hello?
Hi there, how are ya?
I am doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. It's been rainy here. I'm tired of the rain and my yard.
I know.
Now looks a lot like a mud pit. But
ours, too. Oh, my God. It's been soaking. And it's supposed to last through the weekend.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of messing with our Mardi Gras parades too. You know, because this is the first full week of Mardi Gras parades, and they're not just in New Orleans. You know, they're in all the surrounding cities too. And so we have one in Covington where I live that goes off tomorrow night. It's the crew of Olympia, and it's a great parade, and they've still got it scheduled for 6 o'clock, although some places have postponed theirs, moved theirs, you know, back a day, like to Sunday, because Sunday's supposed to be pretty. But as just a few minutes ago, okay, it was still scheduled for 6 o'clock, and if they don't reschedule that, I'm not going because I don't want to get wet.
I don't blame you.
You know, that is no fun for me to be wet, you know, at night.
Yeah.
And so if we miss that one, we will just go to the Mardi Gras parade that they have on March the 5th and call it good. But,
I didn't know they had another one on March 5th.
Well, March 5th is actually Mardi Gras Day.
Oh,
yeah.
Fat Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm learning
something. Well, you see, Fat Tuesday is what people call it that aren't locals. It's actually Mardi Gras. Okay. Fat Tuesday is Mardi Gras, and it's always the day before Ash Wednesday, because the idea here is to have a lot of fun and make merry and eat lots of stuff and drink lots of stuff before you deny yourself something for Lent.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. See, it's been a while since I've been Catholic.
Well, yeah, but you know, in Louisiana, you know, Catholicism is mixed up in witchcraft and in Caribbean magical systems and so on and so forth. And part of the reason is that you know, there were rules of conduct in a lot of different states that where slavery was prominent. And in Louisiana, the enslaved had to be baptized Catholic. And so this is why when you go into a Botanica or you go into a store that specializes in voodoo or some of the Caribbean arts, you will see all of these statues of the saints.
Oh.
Because Papa Legba or Elagua, actually opens the gates, holds the keys to the gate between the mundane world and the spiritual world, and so he became Saint Peter, because Saint Peter holds the keys to the gates of heaven. And this one, and in this way, they were able to practice the religion that they brought over with them under the guise of Catholicism. but they could still practice their own religion.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So anyway, it's all kind of, you know, mixed up together here. And, you know, for example, the priest that had the St. Louis Cathedral here, the first one, also had a garden in the back of it, and that garden is still there, and it faces Royal Street in the French Quarter. It's on the back of the St. Louis Cathedral, and so anyway, it was his sanctuary. But he and Marie Laveau were very good friends because they both helped the poor, and she actually had keys to the sanctuary garden, so she could go in and out of there anytime she wanted to.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so they were very good friends. So you have a whole different dynamic here.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, so, I've never been.
Well, you see, you'll have to come.
Exactly.
You and Ryan will have to come. Yeah.
Exactly.
But so it's very neat and it's very interesting here. So Catholicism is a little bit different here than it is anywhere else, just because of the interactions. And the cult and the cultures here, I've noticed that this is happening in other places now, but for several years, you could get ashes on Ash Wednesday to go. There would be a priest like standing on busy streets and stuff like that, and you could pull your car up to the curb and you could get your ashes for Ash Wednesday without having to go to church.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah, ashes on the go. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, Mardi Gras is, you know, Fat Tuesday is always the day before Fresh Wednesday, and that's when the big Mardi Gras, you know, celebration is. Although it's carnival season, you know, carnival season starts in January. But and so in this year, carnival season is longer because Easter is late this year. It's in April.
Oh. Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was saying to me today because her birthday is close to the 21st, and I think it's supposed to fall on the 21st today or this year.
The 21st of April.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it 21st or the 19th? Goodness, I don't have a calendar in front of me. But wait a minute. I do have a calendar in front of me. Let me flip some pages here. Yes, I've got a lot of things on my desk right now. Yes, indeed, you're right. Okay, April 21st is Easter. Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Lent begins on March the 6th. So Mardi Gras is on March 5th.
Okay. Oh wow. So it's late this year.
Yeah, and you know, and that's good news for a lot of places in this area because you know, king cake is a big deal.
Yes.
And so that means that the bakeries that make king cakes actually have a little more time this year to get all the king cake orders out. So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So have you had king cake? Have you ever had it?
You know what? I have never had it, and I think I may try some this year. I may see if I can find anything local. If not, maybe I can outsource. If you have any suggestions of places that will ship, I'm all on board.
Oh, honey, just go online and look up king cake. You know, a quote to search on king cake plus ship, and you'll find it. Everywhere.
Okay.
But they're all different kinds of king cake. You know, the traditional one is kind of like a great big cinnamon roll. It's made with French bread dough, but it's got cinnamon and sugar and stuff, and then it's got icing on the top, and then it has gold and green and purple glitter on top. And there's always a baby in the middle of it, a little plastic baby doll in the middle of it, or somewhere in the king cake.
What is the baby?
Well, you know, there are theories about that. The most, you know, it used to be, oh, you know, it was good luck if you found the baby. Well, then, after doing some research, the most common thing is that whoever finds the baby has to buy the next king cake.
Oh. Oh, that's sneaky.
Yeah, but you know, there are all kinds of king cakes. You know, some of them are filled, and the ones that are filled with Bavarian cream, which is like a custard, are really really good.
Yeah.
And you can get them filled, you know, with some kind of a praline filling, and I think they come in blueberry filling and all kinds of different fillings, lemon filling, and so on and so forth. So
I had no idea that it was this in depth. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to find the king cake.
Yeah.
And I want them all.
Yeah, well, Mark was so enamored with king cake when we got here last year because we'd actually moved in January. So we got here right, you know, as carnival season was starting. And so he was so tickled about king cake. And then I think Walmart or Rouse's, which is Rouse's is a Louisiana family-owned grocery store chain. And, you know, one of them had king cakes on sale. And my husband is all about getting something on sale. And so, you know, he bought all these king cakes and cut them up in individual slices and put them in little freezer containers and stuck them in the freezer. You know, so he could have them for desserts and stuff. And about halfway through all that king cake, he started getting a little tired of it. And so this year, I think we bought one king cake and we're done. You know,
it's like, that is so cute.
Yeah,
that
well, it was. So but it was, but you know, I'm looking for something to take out for my dessert, and I keep finding king cake and king cake, and it's like, oh, good Lord. Not again.
You're like, no, thank you. I'm done.
I
have had my fill.
So funny. And they even have a king cake festival here.
Really?
Oh yeah, where they have booth after booth after booth after booth, of different vendors selling different kinds of king cake.
Oh my gosh!
You know, it's pretty amazing. But you know, here somebody can come up with a good reason for a festival or parade for almost anything here. So it's a happy place. People
That's
like to party.
So cool.
Yeah,
I don't blame them. Life's short.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you know, and every time I start, you know, thinking about, oh my God, you know, I've gained weight since I've been here. I'm going to have to go buy new clothes, you know, this kind of thing. I think, oh well, yeah, but all those women on the Titanic skip dessert,
there
and then
you
they
go.
Drown. You know.
I'm so sorry.
I choose not to be one of those ladies.
You know what? I'm with you. I am so with you. But you know what? I know that you have some limited edition candles. Before we get to talking again, we need some promotions.
Okay. Okay. I do have limited edition candles. I have extra, and they only come out in February. And once they're gone, they're gone. And we are toward the end of the month, and so. You know, some of my supply is getting a little low. I have Extreme Badass, which is wonderful for people who need some gumption, or for those people who don't feel like anybody is paying attention to them. This particular formula puts you in the forefront and makes people pay attention to you, and it is a really great formula for personal empowerment and confidence.
Oh, yeah.
And all these limited editions are available in the candle, in the oil, and in the spray. I also have Hot Damn, which is a triple action good luck formula. In fact, I have a store owner that I stock, and she always, when the candles are available, she always orders a bunch because she wants a supply for her personal use, and she insists that if sales begin to lag, and this is a good luck formula. This is not a money formula, but if sales begin to lag, that all she has to do is light one of those Hot Damn candles, and she has more business than she knows what to do with. And these aren't just looky-loos coming in. These are people who want to spend money. So she swears by them. You know, because good luck, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, money. God, I need money. But you know what? Good luck covers a lot of things, a lot of areas.
Yes, ma'am.
And, you know, and I would rather do something for good luck than do something specifically for money, because good luck can also mean an influx of money. So, it brings opportunities, you know, it brings all kinds of different things, so it can cover the money in too. I have Rich Bitch, and I am getting really low on Rich Bitch candles. So if people want those, they probably need to send me an email, and my email address is on my website to make sure that I've got it in stock, but before they just order it, because the last thing I want to do is oversell candles, and then have to tell people, I'm so sorry, I have to give you a refund because I'm out of these. I am thoroughly convinced that Rich Bitch is the best money draw formula on the market, bar none. I've never seen that fail. So you like it too, huh?
Oh yes, yes, ma'am. Yeah, it helps me. I find it's kind of a combo. It attracts money, and it's kind of a confidence booster. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I think that when you feel like you have what you need, your confidence automatically goes up.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of, you know, in our society now, money a lot of times is equated with comfort. Because you have what you need to buy the comfort that you want. And if you're comfortable, then you're confident. So, you know, I used to tell people, you know, when they were doing money spells, and they would say, oh, well, you know, you should, they would tell me, you should never ask for more than you need when you do a spell. And so I said, well, okay, but if you only work a spell for what you need, then that means that, you're not going to have anything left over. So my question to you is, have you worked the spell for enough money to be comfortable? Not necessarily rich, but comfortable. And they kind of look at me, and finally I'll say, okay, now, let me put this in simple terms. Did you ask for enough money so you can buy good toilet paper? and then they kind of laugh at that, but you know it's true. It's like, okay, you know, the cheap toilet paper isn't worth a damn. You know, I want enough to buy good toilet paper. So let's be comfortable here, and so then, you know, they finally get it. And there's some things I want to talk about with magic a little bit later when I get through this promotional spiel. But I'm almost done with the promotional spiel.
Okay.
The other products that I have that are limited edition and only available this month or the St. Dorothy, the Wicked products?
I am ordering it right now.
Okay.
I am.
You know, they are the magical miracle worker. When you come across a situation that seems impossible, this is the candle, oil, and or spray for you. It plows through everything, and it boosts other magic. So it can also be combined with other magic. If you have a serious problem, say, with luck, and you are going to use a hot damn candle, then you might want to dress that candle with the St. Dorothy the Wicked oil.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. You know, so it can be used in combination. You know, you can burn the St. Dorothy the Wicked candle with any other candle, but sometimes it's easier to take, you know, look at what you really, really want and then use the oil as a dressing to make the combination.
Huh. That is, oh, wow. Now you're stirring my brain.
Well, that's what magic is.
Yes. I
stir those
love
brain
it.
Cells, yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, you know, but I am running somewhat low on these. So, you know, especially with the Rich Bitch. Folks, you know, if you're interested in the Rich Bitch products, then, you know, email me. And make sure that I've got them before you just order. The others, I probably have enough to last through the end of the month. And we've got, what, 28 days in this month?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't leap year. We've got 28 days in this month. So, yeah, I've probably got enough for 6 days, provided that y'all aren't going to try to order 10 of each at a pop. But
don't do that.
Yeah.
Keep
well,
it
yes,
because
we already, yeah, we already had that happen at the onset. And so I actually had to really hurry quick, try to get some more, and I was able to get a few more. But, yeah, the run on them this year has been great, but it's been bigger than it has been in years past.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably due to all of the stuff that is going on in our lives and in our country and in our world. So
yeah,
you know, people need to feel like they have some sort of power over some of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Even if it's in their own sphere, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy to spiral. And this week, for some reason, has just been, actually the past couple weeks, Raina and I have both noticed just like an influx of illnesses and injuries, you know, herself and myself included. You know, it's bizarre.
So did you hurt yourself or were you sick or what?
Well, she is actually sick. I actually injured my shoulder picking up a bag at work that was just slightly too heavy for me, you know, and I strained my shoulder muscle. You know,
it's
better now. Yeah, but I get angry when I'm injured. I'm like, I don't like immobility.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it was kind of frustrating, but, you know, I'm better now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
You know, I think there's been maybe not just only those things, you know, in our own spheres, but my goodness, look at what has been going on in the news for the past few days.
Yeah.
It is just one thing after another after another. I mean, it's like one shock after another after another.
Yeah.
You know?
It's escalating.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And you know, it's like things that you thought would never happen have happened to two people that you never thought they'd happen to, you know. And it's kind of like, really? I almost wonder sometimes if I'm not waking up in an alternative universe, you know. It's like,
yes. No, I've thought that myself. It's like, okay, did I, like, die at some point and this is my hell?
Yeah. It's just nuts. It really, really is. I think a lot of people are feeling powerless now. Powerless to the point where they're not really thinking things through.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I've gotten, for the past month or so, I've gotten emails from people who, you know, who have a problem, and they want to know, you know, what they should do about it. And I'm used to that. And I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
But most of these emails go on forever. And when I finally get to the bottom of them, all I can think is, you don't need magic for this. You need to grow a backbone. you need to stop letting your grown children run your life. You need to pick up the phone and make a phone call and make arrangements to get this bill paid. You know, I mean, it's not that people are stupid. I think some people get to the point where they just feel so powerless, and it's so at the end of their ropes that they simply can't even think things through anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, and of course, and sometimes I'll get a whole bunch of these, like, late at night, and I'll look at them and I'll go, oh, my God, I just can't tonight. I just can't.
Yeah.
This is too much. I am too tired. I have to get some sleep, and tomorrow I will look at this with a fresh eye. And
I see nothing except the inside of my eyelids, and I'm done.
I think that's part of it. And I've always been accessible, and I really don't mind helping people at all. It's what I do. But sometimes, you know, I think, oh my God, apparently this person has not really thought this through. I mean, I even had a person who had ordered, oh my God, what was it? Was it Bitch Be Gone or It Sucks to Be You or whatever? And she loved the scent. And she was rubbing it all over herself because it made one of her chakras feel better. And it was like, oh, no.
Oh.
You know, no, honey, you know, you need to get in the shower. And when I explained this to her, she went, oh. But she wasn't thinking about the magical property. She was thinking about the way it smelled, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if a terrorist hasn't done something to our air. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, I am not ruling anything out at this point. Anything, like,
well, you know,
anything
I'm,
at all.
Well, yeah, you know, one of the things that really got me news wise was this Coast Guard guy who was planning the terror attack. And, you know, and this was one of those things where I went, oh, my God, did I wake up in an alternate universe? This is not supposed to happen. And it was on a work computer. So it was on a government computer. And it's kind of like, no, really no.
Exactly. It's like, oh, wait, how is this real? Seriously, how is this real?
You know, these are supposed to be people who are protecting us. and you know, and rescuing us from dangerous situations, not dreaming up a dangerous situation to put people in. And so, you know, it just boggles my mind.
Yeah. Anybody's mind goes to that point of that's acceptable is terrifying to me.
It's terrifying to me too. I don't understand it. I get, you know, maybe I'd have to walk a mile in their shoes, but no matter what happened, I don't think I could ever get to that point. And, you know, you can blame it on this and you can blame it on that, you know, but the fact of the matter is, you know, this person was making a choice, a grown person.
Yeah.
So, you know, even blaming it on this person's attitude or that person's attitude, none of that really flies, you know, with me. So, that was crazy. So.
Yeah.
Now that we've talked about the uglies in the world.
Yeah.
What has been going on with
pretty?
You? Yeah. What has been going on with you?
Just working and trying to work and getting injured. Other than that, it's really kind of been boring, to be honest. It really has. Like, I don't know what is going on this winter, but I just feel kind of bleh.
Well, you know, winter is when is when we're really supposed to be regenerating. And you injured your shoulder. You know, it's the dark time of the year, or it was, okay? So now you injure your shoulder because obviously you weren't regenerating, and then you were supposed to slow down and regenerate. And, and then that made you mad.
Yeah. See, you always make sense.
Yeah, well, but it's not usually what people want to hear.
No, but I'm open. I'm open to that.
You know, I am really, really clumsy, and my dog has helped me into some of this clumsiness. And a few years back, I was walking her along this ridge, and she went down below the ridge a little bit, and I had her on a leash.
No.
And so she sees something that interests her, and she leaps and takes me with her, and I fell flat on my back, and I broke my neck and shoulder. And so, but of course, you know, I'm so clumsy, I did not realize that I was broken. I just thought, damn, this hurts, and it'll probably, you know, feel better in a little bit. And I went and sat on the couch, and then I thought, oh, I can't raise my right arm.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, I'll just take myself to the emergency room. And then I realized, of course, that I need my right hand to put the car in gear.
Yeah.
And that's not going to work, and I'm going to need it to steer, and that's not going to work. And so I wound up having to call Mark, you know, to come home from work and take me to the emergency room. And then, of course, I had to fill out forms. I made him leave me there. Go back to work. I said, I'll call you when I'm done. And so I'm holding my arm by the elbow, trying to write all this stuff. And, of course, I was broken. Well, in 2 days, I had to be on a flight for an appearance.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they patched me up in the emergency room. They put me in a sling. And, yeah, because my shoulder is broken right where the socket is, and my neck is broken. So they put me in a sling, and they pressed me up. And I made it through the appearance and got back and went to see the doctor. And in 2 weeks, I had to be on tour in New England. And it was a driving tour. And I had to go by myself.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't find anybody that could take off 2 weeks and go with me, so I was going to have to drive myself, and it was a different city every day.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was already booked. And so I asked this guy, you know, if this orthopedic surgeon, I said, is it medically safe for me to make this trip? And he said, well, if you're in an accident and they realize that you've been injured, it's going to be your fault. That, you know, you're going to be the one that gets a ticket and blah, blah, blah. And I said, it's not what I asked you. I asked you if it was medically safe for me to make this trip.
Wow.
And, well, you know, and that's the thing. You know, when you ask a question, you want an answer to the question. It's like, if I ask you what time it is, don't give me the history of the clock. Just tell me what time it is. And so.
Thank you.
Anyhow, he said, well, no, it's not. He said, but let me give you some more Vicodin, another prescription for Vicodin. And I went, oh, no, I'm going to take care of this with aspirin because, you know, if I'm hurting myself, I need to know. So I spent a week teaching myself to drive with my left hand. Because when you have messed up your right shoulder, there are a lot of things you can't do with it.
Yeah.
And you have to figure it out. So I finally figured it out. And Mark said, he said, well, how are you going to manage this suitcase thing? And I said, well, you know, here's what I'm going to do in this. And it's exactly what I did. I put everything in a big suitcase and all my clothes on hangers. I packed underwear and toiletries in a small duffel bag that I kept in the front floorboard. Because that was in my pajamas, because that was the stuff I was going to have every day.
Yeah.
And every evening, I would go out to the trunk, pop the trunk, figure out what I was going to wear, take it out, because it was already on a hanger, and take it in with the little duffel bag. So, you know, this worked okay. This was all right. And I managed
That's
it.
That's actually genius.
Well, honey, but you know what? When you've got a mess like that, you have to figure it out. You just do.
Yeah, right.
And so I did. But I was amazed at the things I couldn't do. It was like getting in. I like to take baths instead of showers. I really do. I like to soak in the tub. Getting in the tub was never a problem. Getting out of the tub was a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the only way to get out with your left hand, or the only way that I could figure it out, was that I had to get in the tub backwards. You know, I mean, it was like, really? You know, so that my left hand would be there so I could put the weight on it to get out. And so, you know, there are things that you have to figure out. But, you know, such is the case with magic, too. I have just discovered over the past few years, you know, when I first started out with magic, I really didn't have anybody to ask.
Yeah.
I had to sit down and think it through. And, you know, and there were a very few little books on the market, but very, very few. And after I had been working for a while, I think Scott Cunningham probably came out with his first one. And, of course, you know, there were a few other books, but when I first started, the only thing that was I could really find were it was Jenny Rose's herb book and a couple of Anna Riva pamphlets that I found at a Botanica, and Sybil Leach's Diary of a Witch.
Oh wow!
And so that shows you how long it's been.
Yeah.
And you know, and then several years into it, then I think Cunningham came out with his first. Positive Magic was out, Starhawk's book was out, you know, and a few others. But yeah, so this was a matter of figuring it out. You know, there was nobody to ask, and then of course I found, you know, an avenue for formal training, and that was easier. But you know, today I look at people. And they all want instant gratification. And so, I am perfectly happy to, if somebody has a problem and they tell me what the problem is, I'm perfectly happy to, you know, recommend a product or say, well, you know, you might try this or this or this. And sometimes it's not even something that I sell. Sometimes it's an easier solution than that. You know, why don't you give this a shot? You know, because this isn't going to cost you anything. Try this first. And, you know, but, you know, what I discover is, you know, so I have to, I have always assumed that when somebody buys something from my online store, that they have some basic knowledge of magic and what they want to accomplish. Well, now I'm discovering that's not the case, because now people buy stuff and then they say, well, are there instructions with this? Well, no, because everybody does things differently. Well, then how do I use this? So now I'm suddenly finding myself teaching magic classes, which I did not intend to teach. I mean, individual ones. And so I think I'm going to have to put some kind of a disclaimer on my site now that says, I don't teach magic.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, but it makes me wonder why people don't just sit down and think about this and figure it out. Because now there's so much stuff everywhere. Everyone has written a book or two. There's all this information on the internet.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why people seem to have such trouble figuring this out. Because it's not rocket science.
Yeah. True.
So I don't know, Dorian, what do you think it is? Do you think it's just laziness, or do you think it's something else?
I think, to be honest, this, I don't know. I think you hit the nail on the head with the instant gratification. You know, we're so used to being able to get things like now, or, you know, the next day, or 2 days shipping. You know, it's a lot of that, and, you know, a lot of not searching on your own. You know, just reading books and following the guidelines, you know, and not veering off the path when something piques your curiosity. You know, there's nothing wrong with exploring.
Well, you know, I wonder about, and God, this is going to sound terrible, but I wonder what about brain development at this point. You know, I remember, when I went to school, you know, you memorized your multiplication tables, okay? If you you had an algebra problem, you sat down and you figured it out. You went through the whole process, even if it took you 3 pages of paper to finish the problem. And sometimes it did. You know, and so you exercised your brain. Now you have scientific calculators for all that. You punch in a series of buttons and you come up with it. What, really? And so I wonder if we as human beings, if we have forgotten to actually exercise our brains.
You know, you may have a point, because, you know, we have a computer in our pocket at all times. You know, most of us. You know, and I know my head is tilted down far too often. You know, and I try to be conscientious about it.
And you know, I think I must be the anomaly, because I only use my cell phone if I need to make a call when I'm gone from home. Seriously. You know,
no,
I have
that's
a landline.
Awesome.
And, you know, I have a desktop computer, and I use that for business, and I have a tablet, and I mostly use that for play. But, you know, as far as my cell phone, hardly anyone has my cell phone number, because I never answer the damn thing. It just sits on a charger. If I'm leaving the house, I throw it in my purse. I mean, if I have an accident, or, you know, or somebody needs help or something like that, or I need to call home, then I've got it, you know. But, you know, so it's not like, you know, I can't make a call if I need to. But I would say that probably, you know, probably 5 people have that cell phone number, which means that I don't get an exorbitant amount of texts either.
Yeah.
and my text tone is such, you know, my phone stays plugged in on the other side of the house, but my text tone is such that if it goes off, I can hear it all over the house. So, because it's
oh,
very
really?
Odd. Yeah. It's just an odd tone. And so I go, oh, you know, somebody must really need something. But, you know, so I'm not one of those people, but I understand that most people are. You know, I'm just a little old-fashioned. I still keep a paper trail because phones crash,
yeah.
Computers crash, you know, all this stuff. My paper trail is not going to crash.
Yeah.
And
the things I love about you.
Yeah. So I think about that too, and this makes me worry about the craft too. The fact that people don't think anymore. But they don't have to. Because a lot of being a good practitioner has to do with looking at the big picture and figuring things out.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like world peace. You know, it's a great idea. Or it sounds a lot like a great idea. But if you really sit down and you think about that seriously, and you know, it's the big picture, and you examine it from angle to angle to angle, you realize that world peace would not be what one thinks it would be. If you have world peace, you're going to lose jobs. You have no need for the military. If you have no need for the military, then there are other people lose jobs. Textile workers lose jobs because they don't have to make uniforms. There's no need for those uniforms.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, vehicle manufacturers, steel workers lose money because now they lose jobs because now you don't need tanks, you don't need military vehicles, you don't need any kind of weapon, and people who make rubber like Goodyear, by God, the people employed there, they lose their jobs. There's no need for all that rubber anymore. So you've got all these people out of work. So now and they can't afford their rent or their mortgages, so now you got homeless people.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you start really picking things apart, it's like, so what do you really want? Because that's not what you want. You know, part of successful magic is knowing what your intent is. Looking at the big picture and going, what do I really want here? And once you know that, then you're going to be successful in your endeavor. But unless you use your brain and really think things out, how can you ever manifest anything that's even close to what you originally anticipated?
Yeah. The excuse me, the short-sightedness, just in front of you, the what's going to happen now, not the long term, you know, because sometimes the long term comes around and gives you exactly what you want, harms nobody.
Because you know, when people keep praying for world peace, world peace is not what they want. What they really want is for people's hearts to be filled with kindness and compassion.
Yeah.
They want people to be nice to each other and quit all this fussing and fighting. That's what they want. But that's not, you know, but they don't think that's what they want. They think they want something entirely different. And so, you know, the key to successful magic is really knowing what you want and then focusing, you know, your intent on that. And I taught a class one time on money magic, and this gal was having this financial problem, and she wanted money. And so I said, okay, well, you know, you can do blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, no, that would just be extra money. And so I said, well, maybe you should tell me exactly what happened here. And apparently her cousin got her involved in some kind of get-rich-quick scheme. And so she lost her savings.
So I said, okay, do this, this, and this,
and that will bring you that money. That will bring you an amount of money equal to that what you lost if you blah, 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 blah. You know, you've got a good shot at making that happen. And she says, no, that would be extra money. And I said, I don't understand. She wanted the money that she lost. She wanted her cousin to have to shit the money that she lost. And so I said, okay, so what you're telling me is that the money isn't even the issue. You're pissed off at your cousin and you want revenge. You want her to have to grovel. And she said, well, yeah. But you see, that wasn't money. She wanted revenge.
Uh-huh.
So
exactly.
So it's, yeah, so again, you know, it's a matter of knowing what it is that you want. Otherwise, you know, what you get is not gonna be what you thought it was. I mean, you have to know what you're working the magic for and be honest with yourself. And I find that a lot with people who have read a book and think they're a witch. To start with, most people don't even read the whole book. They go right to the spell page.
Yep. You know, I have to admit, when I was a young witchling, back when I was 16, I did that.
Of course. Kids do that. You know.
Exactly.
But you know, if you have written a book and you have carefully laid out instructions through the book, these are things that folks need to know before they hit the spell page. But if they haven't read it, then chances are the spells aren't going to work like they think. And
exactly.
So, you know, I guess I've gotten to the point now, maybe I'm just too old, but I've gotten to the point now where I'm frustrated because because I'm afraid that the craft is going to die out.
I don't think it will die out, but I think it may evolve for a little while and then come back around.
Well,
you know,
I hope it does that quickly, because all of us old timers, we're going to be dead.
I hope not.
Well, honey, I mean, from the second you're born, you start to die. Okay. I mean, that's a given. And it's like, if people don't get a clue, then who's going to be around to teach them?
Yeah.
Or go.
You're right.
Know, so maybe the craft won't die, but I'm afraid it's going to be watered down. You know, I had the same fear when the New Age stuff became so popular. You know, the power of positive thinking. The power of positive thinking was a great thing. Okay, because if you believe that you can, or you believe this will happen, you can make it happen as long as you believe. Okay, strongly. And so that made perfect sense to me. Things got weird with the New Age and so on and so forth, because people were all about angels. Well, what they, you know, that was part of it. And what they did not realize was that angels and fairies, okay? Angels and fairies aren't necessarily all good and fluffy and light and wonderful.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But, you know, nobody wanted to discuss that. And if you dared to say, ooh, you know, you need to be careful with this archangel, not that this angel is necessarily bad, but, you know, this archangel's job is such and such. And I don't think that's what you're going after here, okay? Or, you know, fairies are not all sweetness and light. And everybody wanted to handle things with sweetness and light and so on and so forth. And, you know, our world is set up on a system of checks and balances.
Uh-huh.
You have so much good for so much bad. Okay, you know, so so much compassion for so much evil, so much light for so much dark, on and on and on. And then things really got weird when the law of attraction was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that knocked out the series of checks and balances that are necessary, because we have checks and balances in magic too.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it was a matter of like attracts like. Uh-uh. Everybody that has any sense will tell you that opposites attract.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, this is why a magnet picks up nails. This is why we have electricity. This is because opposites attract, okay? So like does not necessarily attract like. And so, you know, it was like, oh, my God. And so I was really, really worried that things were going to, you know, get watered down and everything was going to just die a slow and painful death. Now, fortunately, that really didn't happen because, you know, people began to get a clue that these things weren't working like they thought they were gonna. And then it became okay again to go, hey, wait a minute. You know, you have to learn to put things in balance here. And I think part of it was, you know, people were experiencing the spiritual world, which is fun. Because they're, you know, unlike the world in which we live, the spiritual world is full of abstracts. And so there really aren't any rules. But the problem is we don't live solely in the spiritual world. We live in the real world.
Yeah.
And our feet should be planted firmly while we learn to walk between the worlds in balance. You know, a Catholic priest once told me, gave me the best advice ever. Of course, he didn't realize he was advising a witch. But his advice was impeccable. And I've never forgotten it. He said, Dorothy, never be so spiritually bound that you are of no earthly good.
Huh. Wow.
Because we live on this earth.
Yeah.
And, of course, his thing was, you know, you could spend all your time on your knees praying, or you could get out in your world and do some good and help some people. And what your job is to get out in the world and do some good and help some people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's good advice for everybody. You know, look at what, you know, what is going on in the real world. Plant your feet firmly. Do what you need to do here. Take care of your responsibilities here. But learn to walk that other world as evenly as this one. And, you know, for example, yeah, you might really want that crystal, but don't spend your rent money.
Yeah.
Because I have seen that crap happen firsthand, you know.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, me too.
So, you know, because you have responsibilities here. And, you know, and I've also seen a lot of really good people help other people to their detriment. That's not cool either. You know, you had better pay your own rent before you pay somebody else's. And then if you have something extra, then help them.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I don't know, Dorian, can you tell I'm frustrated tonight?
No, it's understandable. You know, and hearkening back to the whole New Age thing, because I remember it was like, I don't know, probably early, mid-90s, or maybe mid to late, I don't know. But they brought that whole yin-yang thing in, which is the balance. You know, and that, I don't know, that's always kind of cracked me up. You know, the, you know, all fluffy and light and then calling for balance but not wanting to deal with the dark.
Well, exactly. And most folks just tried to pass that off as masculine and feminine energies.
Yeah.
A balance of that.
Yeah, oh, that drove me nuts.
Yeah. And, you know, call a spade a spade. I don't I don't understand that kind of thing either. And then, of course, there was this, you know, the attitudes were so cavalier. It was like I lived next to this guy who was just, God, he was just a great guy. And he was kind of hippie-ish. And at the time, I thought he was a hoodoo practitioner. He didn't say so. I just assumed he was. But I was wrong because no hoodoo practitioner would have ever acted quite like this. His apartment was really neat, though. He had actually done his floors in bar varnish, and he had laid pennies in it all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Which was pretty cool. But
yeah.
he got robbed about 3 times in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
And I finally, and this was, I guess, mid-80s. And I finally said, you know, so, you know, what did the police say about this? He says, well, I didn't call the cops. And I said, why not? And he said, well, you know, I just kind of figured that whoever robbed me needed that stuff worse than I did. And it's
God.
What, really? So, you know, this was kind of the attitude then, too. And a hoodoo practitioner would have said, buddy, this ain't going to serve you well. They wouldn't have just called the cops. They'd be working their mojo, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that was kind of the general attitude. It was like la 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 la, and
yeah, passivity.
Yeah,
yeah.
And to their detriment. I mean, just to the point of the ridiculous. There was a kid, I was running Humane Society in an animal shelter in Missouri, and this dog came in, and so this kid comes in to get his dog, and he walks in, and he's got on designer jeans and has a very expensive cell phone cell phones when an iPhone was a lot more expensive than they are now, okay?
Yeah.
because of the time, okay? And so anyway, he wants his dog back, and I tell him that he's going to have to go get his dog tagged and neutered. And in the meantime, he owes the shelter this much money, and then he can get this much money back once he brings me the receipts for the tag and the neutering. He informs me that, well, how about I just give you these designer jeans instead? And of course, I just looked at him like he's got three heads, and I said, I don't think the bank will take that. Let me deposit those. And so then he runs this long line of crap on me, and he says, well, you know, I should be able to just barter this. And I went, why? And he said, because Jesus didn't have any money, and la, 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 la. He was going on and on and on. And all the time checking his cell phone.
Oh, God.
And so I told him, I said, now look, you need to quit playing with your phone, and you need to call your parents and tell them to either bring you, you know, to bring you the money if you want this dog back. Otherwise, I'm keeping this dog. Your dog's not going home with you until I get this money.
Yeah.
And he kept on and on and on. And finally I said, look, let me give you a lesson in religion. I believe what Jesus said was, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And, honey, I am Caesar. Now, you owe me this much money. And so he called his folks, and they came and they brought the money, and they, you know, they picked up the dog. But, you know, it was kind of like that kind of attitude. It's just kind of what was going on with the New Age back then, too. And, you know, that kind of stuff, I don't I never have been able to grasp, which is probably why I didn't fit into the New Age very well.
Yeah.
I just kind of kept my distance. Yeah, oh my God. But anyhow, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I would really magic is not rocket science, but
yeah.
It does take. You do need to know what it is you really want. You do need to focus on that, and you do need to believe that it will work. Because without those things, nothing's going to work for you, not even the simplest spell.
Yeah, exactly. It for me, it's always boiled down to the energy that I'm able to contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and you know, I think that's a good point too, because it's how much energy you can contribute to it. It's how much of yourself you can put into it, not how much time you spend on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes
people
think those are synonymous, and they're not. You know, I can set lights, send that magic off in probably less than 5 minutes and have put my whole self into it. I don't have to spend 2 days on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
Yeah. You know, and that's, for me personally, you know, I know a lot of people love the ritual and, you know, that's what they are able to raise their energy. For me, it's always in the moment, you know,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily seat on my pants, you know, having kind of a plan in place, you know, and what I associate with this energy. And then when I'm ready, just bam, do it, you know.
Well, you know, and
don't worry
I think,
about the details.
Yeah, I think that's always been important for me too, because generally, well, you know, with most people, by the time they get around to working magic, it's almost too late.
Yeah.
You know, they have messed around, and then it's like, oh, shit, it's, you know, and this is like an 11th-hour thing. Part of it is, too, that people are busy, okay? And so, you know, I've always been the kind of person, too, that when I needed to do something, I just did it, period. And, you know, it's important. I was talking to somebody today about this very thing. It's important to remember that you are the magic.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you
absolutely.
Are the magic. And so, you know, being the magic should be just as natural to a person as breathing air. So if you are the magic, then you ought to be able to, boom, get something done right then without having to figure out, you know, my God, what day of the week is it? Do I need to wait until this hour is ruled by Saturn? Do I need to wait until this minute of this hour? So on and so forth. Okay? Because by the time I figure all that crap out, I don't even remember what I needed to work the magic for to start with. It's too much.
Oh, my God, thank you. Yeah.
And
I get lost. I get lost in my own thoughts and my own reservations. Like, the more I think about it and the more details that I have to put into whatever I'm doing, the more confidence I lose.
Well,
you know, but that's me, you know.
But it was like,
and it sounds like
the very first spell that I worked, it was like, what a letdown, okay? I decided that I had to have everything just perfect, and I probably worked up this plan and collected these things, and there weren't a lot of things, but collected these things and fashioned this and fashioned that and arranged this and arranged that, and I probably played with this for a couple of weeks just to make sure it was right, wrote this perfect spell, and I did this spell, and at the end of it, when I finished the spell, I thought, is that all there is? Is that all there is? I don't know what I was expecting. Okay, I don't know if I was expecting colored lights or sparkly glitter or some kind of supernatural confetti or what. Or maybe even this real rush after I did it. Maybe it was just, you know,
yeah.
I wanted to feel something, and I didn't. And I thought, really? Well,
it
must have been a pretty powerful.
Come on.
Yeah, something, you know, just, yeah, anything. And so, no, nothing. But, by God, in 2 days I saw the results. Boom. And that kind of
really?
Freaked me out. And then I went, okay. So, yes, that is all there is. And all there is enough.
Yeah.
But you know, it was just, I don't know what I was expecting. But I was expecting something after I put all that work into it.
That's a good point.
Kind of instant gratification I wanted. Okay, you know, after I fussed about instant gratification, but some kind of sign, something.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, there was just nothing, but it worked, and it worked very well. So, you know, so that kind of changed my attitude about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a couple of days, though, I thought maybe there was something wrong with me. You know, well, no, because, you know, there are all kinds of people. I don't feel energy like other people feel it, or like most other, either like other people feel it or like most other people say they feel it. Let's put it that way. and maybe it's because I'm a double earth. I don't know. But it's like it takes a lot for me to take notice that something supernatural is going on in my house. If I have a visitor, they're going to have to knock something off my wall before I take notice.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And that has happened. Now, do I feel, okay, there have been times when I have gone into a building or something and, you know, thought, ooh, this doesn't feel right. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. But I always used to think that was my gut telling me that. I was at a battleground in Richmond when I was 16. And I got really, really nauseated.
Mm.
And had to leave. And as soon as I was a few miles away from there, I was okay again. So, okay. But at the time, okay, it never occurred to me that's what it was, that the energy was still foul and bloody there.
Yeah.
So, some people go, oh, you know, they feel all this energy and this and that and so on and so forth. And sometimes I wonder if they're just pretending that they do or if they really do, and I just don't. And maybe I just don't.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with my magic.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, what it means is that not everybody is wired the same. That's what that means.
Yeah. Well, I've always like kind of boiled it down to, you know, everybody is different. Like, I don't like raw tomatoes. I like them any other way but raw. My
mm-hmm.
husband absolutely loves raw tomatoes. You know, and it's just a simple difference, and it doesn't matter. You know, we all do things differently.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe everybody has their own specialty when it comes to you know, esoteric talents. One of the first lessons that I had in formal training was a scrying lesson.
Okay.
And so you're supposed to fill a bowl with water, put black ink in it, light a candle. And you're supposed to scry, you know, see what comes up. and we had to keep a journal. And, you know, and once awake, you went to see your teacher, and they had to look at your journal. And day after day after day, there was like nothing, 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 nothing. And I kept thinking, my God, why don't you just put me on something else and let me come back to this? Because, you know, you get to the point where something is not working for you. You know, you get to the point where you feel like you're a failure. Well,
yeah.
Okay, finally, I got something. But what that told me was that scrying was not my thing. You know, I had other talents, and that was okay, you know. But it was like, really? You know, because I think I must have done that, worked on that lesson for like 3 weeks, and I was just so frustrated. But, you know, day after day, I worked on it. And it's almost like I feel that bulb, like that candle, and I'd think, and I start sweating blood. It was like, please, please, anything, just something, just ABC, something, just something fucking appear, you know, please. And
I'm sorry.
Well, no, you know, it is funny. Now looking back on it, it's hilarious. You know, and this was a giant lesson for me because, you know, I have always, with the exception of that and one other thing, anything that I decided I was going to try, I could do almost immediately, even if other people couldn't. And so this was a big blow to my ego, too.
Oh.
You know, it's like, really?
Wait,
really?
What?
Can anybody do this? I mean. but you know, I think maybe that was part of the, you know, of the lesson. Yes, other people can do that. But part of the lesson is, you're not smart at everything. You're not good at everything. And that's okay.
Aw.
You know? You know, you need to check that ego and quit, you know, so, you know, strutting around like a little banny rooster here. This is, you know, you know, get a grip on yourself, check yourself. And and so that was good. Of course, I have not gone back to scrying ever again. I mean, why would I? There are other ways that I can find out things. I can read cards. I can do intuitive readings. I can do life coaching. I can do all kinds of stuff. I can give people good advice. So why would I need to describe? You know, I'm just not gonna, and I don't have to. But yeah, it was part of my training, and it was also a matter of following things through.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're good at this or not, you have to, if the course has been charted, you've got to follow it through. And that's another thing about magic. You work the magic, but then there's the mundane fall through.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know, sometimes the lessons that are set before you, the lessons that you think you're learning are not the lessons you're learning at all, but it's still a good lesson.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's always hindsight. You're like, oh, I totally get it now.
Yeah.
I find myself doing that a lot, especially into adulthood. It's like, oh, okay. Now I know what that was for. You know,
well,
now I know why that person came into my life. Okay, I get it.
You know, and sometimes, you know, folks will say, oh, my God, I wish I knew then what I knew now.
Yes.
And, you know,
song about it.
Well, yes, I, there is. I hadn't even forgotten about that. But, yes, there is. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that would have been great because, yeah, I've discovered that I've got a lot more sense now that I'm old than I did when I was young. But if I'd known all this when I was young, I wouldn't have had nearly as much fun.
You know what? That is such a good point.
Well, yeah, because when you're young, you think you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Oh, definitely.
And I was absolutely fearless. And I, you know, and I look at some of the things I did then, which scare me now. And that I would never do again. And some of them I did twice just to make sure I wasn't wrong the first time. You know, but I had fun. And, you know, because I wasn't faced with my own mortality. And I probably didn't get hurt for several reasons. For one thing, you know, the gods take care of children and fools, and I was both. And the other thing, if you think you're going to get hurt, you normally do. And it never occurred to me that I would. And so, you know, so I had fun. But, you know, for example, now I would never get on the back of a motorcycle going over 100 miles an hour with no helmet. Not ever.
Oh, me neither. And I've done it.
Yeah, well, I've done it too.
I've done it.
So, but, you know, I did it, and it was fun at the time, but I don't want to repeat that now.
Exactly.
It's like, because that was really pretty stupid.
Oh. Yeah, no, I seriously, I think of either of my children doing some of the things I've done, and it just it makes my skin go cold. I can't imagine my baby doing that. No.
No, and you know what? Your baby will, and your baby will do worse.
Exactly.
And the hardest part of motherhood is watching your child run toward a cliff and forcing yourself to stay put and let them jump off.
Yeah. It's so hard.
Well, it is, but this is how they learn. You know,
exactly.
And then you help put Humpty Dumpty back together again when it's all done.
Yeah. It's, you know, but you have to let them. You have to.
Well, yeah, you do. And then you tell them, and now you're grounded until you're 35.
Exactly.
Yes.
You are never leaving the house again. No phone. No nothing. No. And oh wow, that's a new patch of gray hair. I didn't notice that before. I'm more white hair at this point than I am the brown. So
I've been gray for so long. I was prematurely gray. But the last time I went in to see my hairdresser, she said, "Oh, Miss Dorothy, I think you have more silver than you had the last time you were here."
Oh, no.
I said, yeah, honey, probably. just cut it.
Aw. But your hair is so beautiful, I have to say.
Oh.
It's so shiny.
Oh, bless
and
you.
So, I mean, no, seriously, it's like your hair is magical.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it glitters. I love it.
Mark told me I had gone so long without a haircut because I was so busy. And he told me one day, he said, "My God, honey, you're going to have to get your hair cut. If you don't, you're going to look just like Marty Stewart."
No. So
I bet
mean.
We have listeners who have no idea who Marty Stewart is. But I went, "Oh, my God, I'll make an appointment in the morning."
If you haven't heard of Marty Stewart, just, you know what, we're not going to explain who he is. Just go Google images of Marty Stewart.
Yeah. Because his hair's got the same color as mine. Yeah, it's just everywhere. And
oh my God, that's so mean, though.
Well, actually, I thought it was pretty funny. You know, it was like, oh God. So we got that taken care of. And so now I'm going to be more astute about getting it trimmed so he doesn't say that to me again.
Right? Unless you have to hex him, you know?
I would hate to have to do that.
Exactly. It's like, ugh. He should know better than say that.
Well, actually, he knows I have a pretty good sense of humor. And he knows what really pisses me off and what I'll laugh at. And he figured I'd laugh at that, and I did, you know.
That was funny.
I saw the funniest thing. I was telling him about this, and he just kind of raised his eyebrow, and he went, "Oh, this it was a meme," and it said, when your wife is pissed off, take a towel and drape it around her like a cape, so it's like a superhero, and say to her, now you're super angry." What? His eyes got big. He went, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, now wait, just listen." I said, "And she'll either laugh," and he went, "Yeah, right." And I said, "Or you'll be dead." He said, "Yeah, that's the one, dead."
Oh, poor Mark. Rest in peace.
Yes.
Oh,
my goodness. So, are we out of time?
No, actually, since we started a little bit late, we have a little bit of time. But if you need to go, absolutely. It has been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you, too. Excuse me. I think I probably do need to get off of here. But we are, I am due again, what, May 24th? Or maybe
I believe
before.
So.
I think it's May 24th. Excuse me, now I'm choking.
Yeah.
Now I swallowed coffee down
the
wrong
pipe. Are you
okay? Yeah, I'm going to have to quit bringing coffee in here with me because it never fails. I always, it always goes down the wrong pipe.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So now I'm choking on your radio show. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm going to get off of here. You have a wonderful night. I love you bunches, and give Raina my love. I hope she feels better.
I love you too, and I sure will. I'm gonna check in on her in the morning. I'm sure she's out like a light right now.
Okay, I'm sure she is too. Okay, honey. We'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
All right, love ya. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, guys. Well, I am gonna wrap up here. It has been a wonderful show. We appreciate you tuning in and. My nose is getting stuffed here, so I'm sorry. I apologize if I sound stuffy. But we will be back next week, and I appreciate you all tuning in.